It's the most important day on the WCHL broadcast calendar. It's the 2013 Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum on 97.9 FM. WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live on chapelborough.com. 10 hours live from the WCHL studios with more than 60 members of our community discussing and debating thought-provoking local issues. Brought to you by Harrington Bank, Durham Tech, University Mall, Molly Maid, The Happy Tooth, the UPS stores on Fordham Boulevard and at Menomont, Autologic, and the Carolina Inn. Now, hour one of our forum. The topic, Town and Gown. Here's your moderator, Aaron Keck.
Welcome to Hour 1 of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. 10 topics, 10 hours, commentary and discussion all day long between town and university officials and other representatives from our community, all focused on all of the important issues affecting our county and our local towns. In this hour, as you heard, Town and Gown, the topic today, our annual YALTA Summit featuring the leaders from the three towns in Orange County, Chapel Hill, Carborough, and Hillsborough, the county itself, and of course UNC. Today here at WCHL Studios, welcoming you for the first hour of a big day here at WCHL. And joining us right now, we've got four of the leaders of our community, Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt joining us this morning. Good morning. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Aaron. Glad to be here.
Carborough Mayor Mark Chilton joining us as well.
Thanks for having me on.
Eric Hallman, the Mayor Pro Tem of the town of Hillsborough.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And last but certainly not least, UNC Chancellor, soon-to-be Emeritus, Holden Thorpe.
Always great to be here, Aaron.
So before we, as we get started, I mentioned that this is the YALTA Summit. I call it that every single year, and certainly no more relevant, I think, than this time period, as the original YALTA Summit is about the leaders of the world coming together after a time or near the end of a time of significant turmoil and significant challenges to talk about the future. Today we're talking about the future of Chapel Hill, Carborough, Orange County, Hillsborough, and UNC. At the end or near the end or hopefully near the end of what has been a very long and very challenging economic crisis that has affected not just our community, but the larger state of North Carolina, the nation as a whole, the world in general. So I want to begin near the end of this long period of an economic downturn by asking where things stand financially. We're about to enter a budget season, not just for the towns and for the county, but also for UNC as well. And a lot of talk already this year, even before we get to the specifics, about really difficult budget challenges this year, perhaps even more so to certain extents than we saw 2 years ago during the last budget cycle. So I want to begin by opening, or I want to begin by throwing out this question to the table as a whole, and anyone can take it over. Where do things stand financially for the county and for UNC and for the towns?
Well, go ahead, Mayor.
Mayor Kleinschmidt. And before you start, I just want to mention that we're joined now by the chair of the Board of County Commissioners, Barry Jacobs. So we'll hear from him in a minute as well.
Well, I'm particularly proud of the way we handled the economic crisis the last few years, and we were able to get through it without raising taxes for taxpayers, but it came at a price, certainly. We hadn't provided much of a increase for employees for the town until last year, and we're finally just now getting back on track with the revenue and expenses kind of meeting expectations. That said, though, we were able to take advantage of some of the opportunity to do some reorganization as well. So we do things differently in the town of Chapel Hill than we did prior to the economic crisis, and I think it's to the benefit of the community generally. We learned how to do more with less and continue to do it well. But even with those changes, it appears to me that this year we're going to have to look at some revenue options. Mm-hmm.
Looking at some revenue options, possibly increasing taxes, you mean?
That's generally the revenue option we have most control over. We've identified some big rocks in our budget that we have to tackle. Not least, well, it's difficult to prioritize them. The opening of the new library means the library costs more. Our transit system, we borrowed money from the general fund to make up a deficit last year in our transit fund, and we're going to have to make good on that loan. With the landfill closing, we've just this week started taking some trash over to Durham, and we'll complete that transfer to Durham by June 30th. That costs more. We've completed a pay and a pay study of our town employees, and because of the years when we didn't provide any raises or changes to salaries and wages, we were experiencing compression, and we're out of line with some of our competitors and what we pay for certain kinds of jobs. That has to be fixed. Otherwise, we're creating for ourselves an even more challenging problem in the future. So all of these things are going to cost money, and I mean to the level of $3, $4, $5, maybe even more hundreds of thousands of dollars mm-hmm. to fix each, mm-hmm. not just one. When a penny on the tax rate in Chapel Hill is around $750,000, you can imagine that we're going to have to find some ways to enhance our revenue. We also may need to schedule some of these changes over the next few years and somehow phase into it. But mm-hmm. While the economy is getting better for most, our housing market stayed relatively strong. We're in a good place, I think, to be able to handle this, but it's not these next few years, even as we come out of the crisis, are not going to be without challenge.
Mm-hmm. No one knows reorganization, I think, better than Holden Thorpe, so I'll turn it over to you at this point, and certainly not just a variety of budget issues for you at UNC, not just in terms of tuition, but also in terms of state funding. So where do things stand there?
Well, I think it's, before I get to kind of the things that concern me, I just want to say something similar to what the mayor just said, which is that this community has done an extraordinary job of pulling through the various financial difficulties that we've had. It's remarkable when you look at the kinds of cutbacks that we've had to make at the university in terms of our state funding and only giving raises 1 year out of the last five. That we've every quantitative metric that the university goes by has grown. Our grants have gone up, our undergraduate applications have gone up, our private giving has remained strong, and for us to have been able to do that for the last 5 years is a testament to how much people care about each other and care about this community, and that's all something for us all to be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we're far from the end of this cycle that we're in. We started off with a financial crisis, and now we have a philosophical crisis about the role of government and the role of public universities as part of it. It appears this year, looking at the governor's budget and what we're hearing about the Senate budget, that even though there's a surplus in Raleigh, we're still going to have a cut to the university's appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also going to have a sort of presumptive tuition increase that won't produce revenue that goes into the bottom line of the university, which will, by definition, mean that what we normally do in financial aid can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
So those are concerns on the state side. And then on the federal side, the folks in Washington have been unable to come to an agreement about how to manage the federal deficit, and that's led to sequestration and concerns about the pay lines for federal grants. And the average age now of an investigator getting their first major grant is 42. And that is, for a community like this, that has a huge effect.
Mm-hmm.
So the camaraderie and commitment to each other and shared sacrifice that this community has done so well for the last 5 years, unfortunately, is probably going to continue to be required for a time to come, even though tax collections in North Carolina are up and the real estate market is picking up. We still got a lot of complicated challenges ahead mm-hmm. of us on the financial front.
And I know that collaboration that you mentioned, which has been sort of a hallmark of town and county relations for the last few years, and every single time we have this, and several people, you can't see it on the radio, but several people around the table already nodding their heads at that, something that has really defined town and county relations in the last few years, but it's increasingly difficult to keep up, not just between town and gown, but also between towns and towns and towns and county and gown and county when you're competing for scarce resources. Mayor Chilton, you've been nodding your head at a lot of these comments, so chime in with your thoughts on this.
Well, I think you've certainly seen over the last year or two, an occasionally more adversarial relationship coming to the fore between and among some of the local governments. And a lot of times it does have to do with money or, you know, has financial implications, the issues at stake. And I think that's partly just a manifestation of what a tight situation all of our local governments find themselves in. You know, I think in terms of, you know, what's the sort of the biggest concern for me from a fiscal outlook on behalf of the town of Carrboro is just the folks in Raleigh are not done with whatever all they're doing, and they've shown, frankly, you know, some of them have shown some outright hostility toward municipal governments. So I think there are things to worry about, but you know, if we don't yet have our state shared revenues or things like that interfered with from Raleigh, then the town of Carrboro is in a decent situation financially. But as Mayor Kleinschmidt said about Chapel Hill, you know, it is costs do continue to go up, and we've run a very tight ship in the town of Carrboro for several years. So it's a little too soon to say whether there could possibly be tax increases involved this year. But we're trying to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, we know that even with the economy kind of improving, there's still quite a number of homeowners in our community who are in very difficult spots.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I don't know what the answer to this question would be, but sort of following up on that, to what extent does the question of sort of financial stability go hand in hand with promoting the not the image, but the reality of Carrboro as a community that you want it to be? And that goes for Chapel Hill, Orange County, UNC. We want to, and this is something that's going to come up as a topic over the next few hours here, the extent to which we have a set of values that we hold very dear in this community. To what extent does the promotion of those values and the realization of those values run up against the reality of keeping a town like Carrboro or Chapel Hill or UNC or Orange County or Hillsborough financially stable? You see a problem with that or difficulties there?
Well, certainly, you know, we have very little maneuvering room from our state government. Mm-hmm. Our local governments are very tightly controlled.
And more so.
Yeah, more and more so now. But even historically, mm-hmm. North Carolina's local governments have, ever since the Depression, have been very tightly controlled by the state government. And that leaves us with, as Mayor Kleinschmidt alluded to earlier, very few options when it comes to revenues. And I think but at the same time, you know, I look at a lot of the great things that are happening in and have been going on for a long time in the town of Carrboro, and many of those things are the things that we're most proud of are not done by our local government at all. I mean, the Weaver Street Market mm-hmm. and the Cat's Cradle are not functions of government in any mm-hmm. way, and some of the other great things that are happening in our community, like our art center and the Carrboro Farmers Market, they do get some support from local governments, but it's very minor investment from local governments in the big picture. So, I mean, I think, you know, many of the great things about Carrboro, about our whole community, come from the kind of people who live here. And happen quite apart from what our governments choose to do.
That's a really good point. We've got everyone here from local government and, of course, from UNC, but that collaboration with business, with nonprofit organizations is critical and has been. Barry Jacobs joining us now from the Board of County Commissioners. How does that play out at the county level? We've mentioned a couple already of specific issues where the county has interacted with the towns very, very closely recently, issues like the library, waste management, Mayor Kleinschmidt brought up.
Well, first, it's nice to be here with my fellow elected officials and with, we don't do it enough, and with Chancellor Thorpe. Whenever we're talking about local government in Orange County, we have been very fortunate to have the Chancellor work with us, and he and his administration, and he has set a great tone. Next week, we're going to be dedicating Launch, which is an innovation incubator, which is a partnership of the town of Chapel Hill, the university, and Orange County. Mm-hmm. So that's something very tangible that's more positive than talking about closing the landfill or some of the other things we do have to talk about. But I feel like we have good opportunities before us. I think you asked a question before about the stresses that are caused by scarce funds. I think stress causes tension, or you can flip it around and say tension causes stress. But the result is, yes. So the result is that, yes, people bump up against each other. And personality maybe plays a greater role than it would in better circumstances, because people have less margin for less tolerance. But I feel very comfortable that we're going to be able to work together on things like launch, on things like finding solid waste solutions. I've been in local government in Orange County since the mid-'80s. When I was on the planning board and we did the joint planning agreement, which is now still in place and is still a model in North Carolina. And that was a difficult thing to do. It took a lot of people working and making compromises and then going back and making compromises again. And I think we have some really strong challenges ahead of us, but I think if the economy is in fact easing, then we can try and work together to deal with some of the things that are going on in Raleigh. For instance, the counties are about to get an unfunded mandate to perhaps fund drug testing for people who are on Work First as part of the war on poor people that's going on in Raleigh. And, you know, we need to band together. Last night at Triangle J, which is chaired by a Republican from Johnston County, we passed a resolution unanimously asking the state legislature to respect local governments and to try and work with us. We know our constituents. Help us help you make good decisions.
Why do you think there's this push right now? And Mayor Chilton's mentioned that it goes back a lot longer than just the last couple of years, but it seems to be that there's been this push just in the last couple of years to really top down control from Raleigh.
Well, I think it's a national agenda that much of it is underwritten and articulated by ALEC, which is a national organization of businesses and right-wing Republicans who send to states an agenda. I was in Florida in November, and Governor Scott was talking about how we need to change the way we fund our public universities. We need to take money away from liberal arts and put it toward disciplines that are going to create jobs. And then lo and behold, in January, we got a governor who said virtually verbatim the same thing. And I was pleased when Chancellor Thorpe said at the event for him the other day how important the liberal arts are to the growth of our state. So I think part of what's going on is it's a campaign, a well-financed campaign to take over states that have a Republican majority in the legislature and have a governor so that things can't be vetoed. And beyond that, I think it's pent-up frustration that the Democrats, when they were in control, were not particularly collaborative in some cases, were corrupt in some cases, and basically did things the way they wanted to do and left the minority out in the cold.
A lot of issues got brought up there that I want to get back to in the second part of our panel this hour. Before we go to our break, though, Eric Hallman from Hillsborough has been silent so far, but I want to get back to the question of collaboration. We were talking before the panel started about the increasing role of Hillsborough in collaborating with other towns in the county over the last, not just few years, but over the last decade or so. And how has that played out in terms of the way that Hillsborough has developed?
I think that part of Hillsborough's success is tied to the success of the county and to Chapel Hill and Carrboro, certainly. As the county seat, we've had a long history of working with the Orange County commissioners, and I'm glad to see Commissioner Jacobs here, because he's always been very helpful to work with in the issues that come up with Hillsborough. At the same time, we have a lot of different issues, I think, than the other municipalities. One, we're a lot smaller, and we don't face some of the social issues that Chapel Hill and Carrboro face at this time. We will eventually. And I think we look to learn from how Chapel Hill and Carrboro and the university has handled those issues. So we're over the last 6 years, I think Hillsborough has decided that they want to collaborate. I think before that, Hillsborough had a reputation of being fairly insular and doing its own thing. But we're happy to join the family, and I see us participating a lot more now. With I think it started with the inner city visit to Madison, Wisconsin, back 8 years ago.
Yeah,
and that's where we started to kind of becoming a member of the community, and that's been a great thing for Hillsborough.
We've got a lot more to talk about. You're listening to Hour 1 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. The topic this hour is Town and Gown. Still 40 minutes left in this hour and 9 more hours to go after that. We're going to take a commercial break right now. When we return, we'll continue our conversation. This is Aaron Keck from WCHL. Don't go away.
It's not too soon to make plans for enrolling at the Orange County campus at Durham Tech, your hometown college in Hillsborough. Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to tell you that registration for fall classes starts in July. So act now by getting your or your child's transfer or high school transcript together. Then set up a time to visit our Orange County campus in Hillsborough to sign up for our high-demand classes before they fill up. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
At the Happy Tooth, dentistry is more than a profession. It's a passion. Here's Dr. Larry Moray.
My dad was the town dentist in the town that we grew up, and I always enjoyed spending time in his office and watching how he interacted with patients. The Happy Tooth concept is one where we want the patients to feel welcome and part of the family. I try to extend myself to all of my patients and make myself available to them for whatever their needs are, be it orthodontics, general dentistry, or beyond.
For more information, visit happytoothcares.com.
Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn. For 88 years, we've been serving our community with the finest hospitality and space for important community gatherings. Through the years, our commitment to serving Chapel Hill has never wavered, which is why we are proud to support the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. When John Sprunt Hill built the Carolina Inn in the 1920s, he and his contemporaries vigorously discussed the issues of the day, and I'm sure he would be proud to know that tradition continues today. The Carolina Inn, part of your community since 1924.
You're listening to the 2013 Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum on WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Now, back to the forum.
Welcome back to Hour 1 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Community Forum. I'm Aaron Keck, joined by Mark Klatchman, Barry Jacobs, Eric Hallman, Mark Chilton, and Holden Thorpe. In this hour, we're talking Town and Gown, the collaborations between the university, the towns, and the county in Orange County, and all of the key issues that define it. I want to begin the second segment, and we're already almost halfway through our hour, and we've still got a lot more to talk about, but I want to begin the second segment by turning to Chancellor Holden Thorpe, who, now that he is going to be stepping down and moving to Washington University in a few months, can say whatever he wants for the first time ever. And you opened the hour by talking about a philosophical crisis in at the state level, and I think also in higher education as well. I was wondering if you could say a little bit more about that, especially as it relates to the discussion that was just had about the five-year strategic plan for the UNC system and the extent to which there was that talk about redefining the university or reshaping the university around jobs and employment and what that means in terms of education, in terms of research. There's a lot of talk about should we move away from liberal arts? Does employment and the promotion of jobs mean that we should focus more on the liberal arts? There was a lot of talk on both sides, and I think a lot that wasn't said. So I'm wondering what you could say about that as we move into the next 5 years at UNC.
Well, I just want to start by saying that I think, given all of the different inputs that President Ross and the staff at GA did a pretty good job of getting the plan where it ended up. And I think there's a lot of positive things in there, and there's a framework for dealing with some of the questions that people have about higher education. But I think in connection with what Barry was just saying, I think it is time for us to stand up as aggressively as we can for the liberal arts education and what it has meant to this country. It's not possible for us to train students, really even for jobs that are there 4 years from when they enter, because we're not able to predict, especially the technological changes that we're seeing in the world, of trying to guess what that would be 4 years from now for the class that's coming here this summer. It wouldn't work, and it never has. Students are changing jobs even more than now, and we don't think of the college education as a way to train students for their first job. We think of it as a way to train them to do all the jobs that they are going to have in their lifetime, which is a large number. And so the solution that we have long since worked out to this is to teach students to read and write and think and learn to teach themselves and become curious and ask probing questions. And that's what liberal arts education does now. It's what it did 100 years ago. It's what it did 200 years ago. It has defined this country and our leadership, and we would be making a huge mistake to walk away from that.
Do you think that message is getting across to the people who sort of oversee the UNC system at the GA level? Barry Jacobs mentioned, and this is true, I think, that this same debate, as you mentioned, almost verbatim with the same words, is taking place in states across the country with what seem to be very different outcomes, moving away from the liberal arts as opposed to toward it.
Well, I think that the strategic plan, and as I said, I think President Ross was articulate and firm about the importance of the liberal arts, and I remember Erskine Bowles on his first tour around giving his first set of talks as president, talked about the liberal arts and the commitment to it and how important it was. So I think there's a lot of questions there, but there are a lot of people around who are willing to fight for it, and I think that Chancellor Folt will be the same way, and her team, and that's something that we've fought for in Chapel Hill for a long time, and we'll keep fighting.
I wanted to throw open the floor to everyone else to talk about the role of, not just the role of UNC in municipalities and in the county, but also the role of UNC in the way that it shapes itself and the way that it is shaped and how that affects life and government and just sort of the lifeblood of the community in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsboro, and Orange County. UNC facing a lot of issues, budget issues, obviously, the discussion about the five-year plan. It moved in last year to the top 10 in research dollars, which was a major, major achievement for UNC. To what extent does all of that trickle out into the community? UNC is, of course, sort of the dominating thing in Orange County and Chapel Hill in particular, but how does this play out elsewhere, Mayor Chilton?
Well, you know, going back to the point I was making earlier about how many of the things that make our local community such a great place come from not from our local governments but from the people who live in the local area, and that's, you know, almost 100% a function of having the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in our community. It's the people who are attracted to and employed either directly or indirectly by the university who really make this area the unique place that it is in North Carolina. And I think when I hear you know, these attacks on liberal arts education, you know, I do think there's a certain amount of just kind of politics that underlie that. What in essence they're saying, or what I'm hearing them saying, is that that they're opposed to critical thinking, because critical thinking is what a liberal arts education is really all about. And I probably don't need to make it more emphatic, make that point more emphatic, but
oh, please do.
Well, but you know, frankly,
wake everyone up, it's 8:30 in the morning.
Well, you know, I think the point is that there are some people in government in North Carolina and at the national level who want to put people to sleep, you know, who don't want us to think critically about the things that are happening in the world and in our country and in our state, and that this attack on liberal arts education is partly you know, a part of a sort of grander campaign to move our country away from critical thinking, and that is a very dangerous trend. But to bring it back here more locally, you know, one of our main for the town of Carrboro, as far as economic development is concerned, one of our main goals is in promoting and capitalizing on the arts as an economic engine and economic driver. Another local radio station had a great profile on Figure Eight Films, which is mm-hmm. based in downtown Carrboro just this week. You know, the people who make companies like that work come out of liberal arts degree programs at places like UNC. That's not to put down the sciences at all, but just to say, you know, what we heard, Mayor Kleinschmidt and I met just last week with Senator Richard Burr up in Washington, D.C., and in the course of our conversation, he sort of made fun of people who majored in poetry. I'm not sure you can major in poetry per se, but in any case, people who studied poetry and were winding up working at Starbucks, and that's an amusing stereotype. But you know, the reality is that while that does happen sometimes, there are also people who study various liberal arts majors and go on to be a big deal in music and television and motion picture production and mm-hmm. many other important economic activities. And the other thing I would say, just tapping into a point that Holden made earlier, that, you know, you look at somebody like Thomas Jefferson, who was trained in both the arts and in the sciences, but it's really his liberal arts background that is significant as a political philosopher, and he's one of the greatest Americans that ever lived. Mm-hmm. Liberal arts, you know,
that whole generation, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Mayor Kleinschmidt.
Yeah, I think. well, first of all, the technology, science, technology, engineering, and math. I really think that needs to be squared. I like social studies, theater, English, and music as my STEM core group. But I think that some of this conflict that's arising in the minds of those who would create policy around education in North Carolina is as much a function of the adolescent period in which our current policymakers are finding themselves as any other policy that they're involved in. And they just recently have taken power after years of what they would describe as frustration in a minority, and as Barry had alluded to, not having an opportunity to advance their policy goals. I would like to think that as they mature, they would be able to draw on, as past leaders have, the history of our state and our communities that have actually created this great place that we live. They have, instead, you know, of course, like so many adolescents, are just running headstrong out into the wild without considering the challenges and the obstacles that they might face, and or the dangers they may be putting the rest of us in. And part of our role, I think, is to help educate. We had a controversy, or minor little controversy, this week when folks from the university, students largely, were asking us to endorse a resolution against Senate Bill 667, which would take voting rights away, practically take voting rights away from students here in Orange County. And there was a question on the council was well, why start here? Well, you know, we have to start somewhere, and it has to be college towns. It has to be communities that have that direct appreciation for what a university offers it and how it defines it, that need to stand up and educate those who are new to the policymaking arena.
Mm-hmm. Barry Jacobs, and then Eric Coleman.
Well, at one level, the university and the hospital are our largest employers, so they have a tremendous impact just by existing. And of course, they have an impact on every aspect of our lives, from public transit to housing and through the gamut. But I think more fundamentally, I love to talk about the dichotomy in Orange County between the descendants of the regulators, who believe that government was best which governed least, and that goes back to before the revolution, and the University of North Carolina, which is, if is the seat of progressive thought in the state of North Carolina, and those are somewhat at odds, going back all the way to the founding of the university. So intellectually, I think that the university contributes to an atmosphere of thought and discussion. People criticize Orange County and Orange County's governments a lot of times because we talk so much before we make decisions. But we have an informed and engaged electorate. And people here are educated. They are engaged. They have been trained by their educations to think critically. I think that's the highest goal of education, is to be an informed citizen who can think critically for themselves and make their own decisions and try and move government in ways that they believe is important and advance their community. And I think that that's the greatest gift that the university has given this community and will continue to give it, whatever the legislature tries to do and hopefully whatever people are appointed to manipulate it at a higher level.
So are you at all worried that that's at risk, or is that going to continue no matter what?
I agree with the marks. We just have to stand with the university to try and fight against the kind of know-nothingism that has arisen in this country in the last half dozen years in a new form. And I think that in this community, we can continue to support the things that the university stands for and try and work with the university to advance some of its goals in the best way we can.
Eric Holman?
I was just going to add a specific example. I think Hillsborough owes a lot of its current vibrancy to, indirectly, to the liberal arts. You can't mm-hmm. throw a book without hitting a writer, and with the interest in arts and culture and how that drives the economy. If you're looking at job creators, that's a job creator, and yeah. Hillsborough is a specific example of that.
And oh yeah,
I just wanted to add a couple things. One is that this whole idea of the way American higher education is set up is being copied by universities all over the world as quickly as they can do it. And they're not having big commissions where they're sitting around arguing about whether they should have a liberal arts education or not. They're building it as quickly as they possibly can because they know it's the sustainable way to prosperity. And somebody said something about Thomas Jefferson. There are 36 U.S. presidents who went to college, mm-hmm. didn't have to go to college to be president early on. But of those 36, 33 got humanities or social sciences degrees, and 3 got science degrees.
Some would say that that's a plug for science degrees.
I'm just saying that if we got rid of the liberal arts education, not only would we not have people who could think about the future and shape the future, but we also, at least as far as we've done it in this country for 200 years, we wouldn't have anybody to run anything.
We started this the segment by Chancellor Thorpe talking about the philosophical crisis at UNC, and we've talked a lot about issues and challenges, but I want to end the segment by turning it back to you, Chancellor, and asking, in spite of everything, is UNC moving in the right direction?
Oh, yeah. I think Barry said this just a minute ago. These are all fluctuations that we will have to deal with and that we'll fight our way through, but 200 years we've been moving more or less in the right direction, and we worry about research funding and we worry about the state funding, but the ability of the students and faculty and staff to rally around and do the work of the university is very reliable and repeatable, and it's been here for a long time, and we'll struggle right through it and on into the future.
All right, you're listening to Hour 1 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Community Forum. Topic is town and gown. We've got representatives from the three towns, the county, and UNC here. We're going to take one more commercial break, and we'll be back with a lot more here on the WCHL Community Forum. This is Aaron Keck. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of Molly Maid of Chapel Hill. The thought-provoking conversations taking place today on WCHL represent what this community is all about. The panelists are committed to making our community great, just like we are at Molly Maid. For 16 years, our family has been serving yours. My wife, Kathy, and I are proud to employ almost 50 people, doing our small part to keep our community vibrant and, of course, clean. As we support the WCHL Community Forum, we hope you'll support our locally owned business by visiting us at mollymaid.com.
You wouldn't start a new addition to your home without the right tools. And if you're growing your small business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS store, we have a small business growth toolkit that includes posters, flyers, brochures, a large retractable banner, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business growth toolkit today at the UPS stores, your go-to source for your to-do list.
The UPS stores at Chapel Hill North on Fordham Boulevard next to the Chapel Hill University Inn and in Meadowmont.
The Orange County campus of Durham Tech is booming with 70% more course offerings. This is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to invite you to find out why your neighbors and their kids are being educated by us in careers for the 21st century. We specialize in healthcare careers, including emergency medical management, computers, the arts, and much more. To see the full catalog, go to durhamtech.edu. I look forward to seeing you on campus here in Orange County.
Hi, this is Larry Loser with Harrington Bank. We're proud to be your hometown bank and an annual sponsor of WCHL's Community Forum. Harrington Bank offers an array of checking accounts, savings accounts, and loan products designed specifically to meet the needs of this community. If you want a bank where everyone knows your name, stop by one of our three branch locations today to learn more or visit us online at harringtonbank.com. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
It's the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum. You can also hear all our local conversations streaming live on chapelboro.com. And now back with more of the WCHL Forum.
Welcome back to the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Community Forum. This is Aaron Keck. The topic is Town and Gown, joined by Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt of Chapel Hill, Mayor Mark Chilton of Carborough, Mayor Pro Tem Eric Hallman of Hillsborough, UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe, and Barry Jacobs, Chair of the Board of County Commissioners. Jumping right back in, I want to throw the floor open. We've got less than 20 minutes left to talk about approximately 124 issues facing the towns and the county and UNC in the coming years. But I want to begin by just opening the floor to everyone just really quickly, especially with budget season coming up and beyond budget season. There are a lot of serious issues facing the community, solid waste management with the landfill closing. Affordable housing has been a big issue recently and will continue to be. Transit's going to be a big issue as it has been for the last couple of years. What would you say is the number one most challenging issue that's facing the town this year? Eric Hallman.
I'll start. Our issue is more kind of indirect. It's access to capital. We have a lot of really good approved projects that have come in that just can't get money to get out of the ground. Mm-hmm. So,
what would be an example?
Well, Waterstone, where UNC is building this hospital, the developer there has had trouble getting money to develop the remainder of the infrastructure needed to go out and solicit businesses to come in there. So, and we have two mills in town that would, there's interest in refurbishing those that there's not capital available. So that would build the tax base, especially the non-residential tax base, and allow us to do more things and serve the public a lot better.
Everyone else at the panel got this, oh God, I have no idea, look on their face immediately as soon as I ask the question. So Mayor Chilton, you want to go?
Well, I think it's just difficult to say one single thing.
Yeah.
A number of them come to mind, and I'll certainly agree with Eric that the lending situation nationally or globally is still hurting us in downtown Carborough for sure. That there are approved projects that we're excited about them coming out of the ground, the ones that are right now, but there are a number of others where, people are holding permits and biding their time looking for the right opportunity to build them. So, to provide sort of my own answer, I would say, I think one of the biggest challenges that we're facing right now is in the area of solid waste, whether it's trying to figure out how in the future we're going to finance our recycling efforts with Orange County, just dealing with solid waste disposal, having to now or soon transport all of our waste to the Durham Transfer Station. So
those are difficult issues, and they're never very popular to deal with. Nobody ever wants to be you have anything to do with taking out the trash, but it's one of the most critical functions of local government.
The Durham Waste Transfer Station was always talked about as a temporary solution, and there was going to be a bigger long-term solution down the road that was going to be Orange County based. But that conversation seems to have sort of drifted off, at least in public in the last few months. So what's going on behind the scenes, Mayor Kronschmidt?
Yeah, there's a lot going
on. Oh, yeah, of course there is. Yeah.
Bring
it out into the open.
Yeah, well, the towns are just doing what they said they were going to do when this conversation began, and that takes a little time and takes some effort. We are looking again at town-owned properties in Chapel Hill as a location for a transfer site. Mm-hmm. We have opened up, and I think have a great partner. We have opened up conversations with the university about coming back and participating in whatever venture that we engage in with solid waste, which provides more waste to dispose of, but also gives us leverage in negotiations. Mm-hmm. So that's a possibility. A lot of that is happening. We received a report just a few weeks ago, an interim report on what our consultants had discovered and laid out some options. We're continuing to tackle some of the older ideas that have been floated for years around pay-as-you-throw. Those are being assessed and actually being thought of a little differently than we may have thought about them 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're engaged in this process of evaluation and testing assumptions that we have about solid waste. And that's all happening as we speak. We are going to move forward with our interim solution, which is take it to Durham. Mm-hmm. But it's, I believe, a high priority for all of us that be a temporary solution. And that's just, again, one of, and it's funny how Mark mentioned, interesting how Mark mentioned nobody really wants to talk about it. It's not a really interesting subject, solid waste. And neither is road repaving. I got to find $600,000 to do some road repaving this year. Last year, we borrowed it from bond funds. Nobody really, Mm-hmm. People don't notice that until you don't do it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where we are in the budget process. Are we going to be able to continue doing things we've done well for years again next year? So
is that what you consider to be the biggest problem, biggest challenge facing the town right now?
This financial issue. Mm-hmm. But also, for me and the seat that I sit in, it's the transition. I know you can talk about this later, but it's the transition in South Building. Mm-hmm. That is... that really creates the biggest question mark in my mind on how we move forward into August for even. So so much of what has made us successful over the last several years, particularly in the economy that we were working in, has been the relationship the town has had with the university and Holden's willingness to come to the table and say, hey, we're here. We're part of Chapel Hill. Let's help. Let's work together and create solutions. And whether that be the launch program that Barry mentioned earlier, the continued investment in downtown through the partnership, through 123, opening conversations about, hey, can we bring you in on the solid waste thing? And they said, well, if there's a role, maybe we can. I mean, this is a whole different environment. Are we going to be able to preserve that?
What would be your advice to the next chancellor? Other than just continue, what would be the specific concrete? What needs to be done?
I hope that the new chancellor will listen from and learn from the experience of the lieutenants that Holden has groomed over the last few years, mm-hmm. to appreciate the partnership between the university and the town, to learn from that collective experience, because with Holden gone, we're going to rely on folks like Carol Gray and Winston Crisp and many of the other senior officials at the university to carry that experience forward to help inform her decisions as she works on this relationship with us. And I just pray that she will listen to them and take their wisdom.
I'll let Chancellor Thorpe soak in the fact that his departure is one of the biggest challenges facing the community this year for a second, and turn to Barry Jacobs.
Well, there was a lot there. Very quickly, for the next chancellor, I would also suggest having a board of sports skeptics to help advise them, people who are outside the sports industrial complex and can look critically at the entire infrastructure and ask critical questions
I should say, stay tuned. In 2 hours, we'll have a we'll have a panel on college athletics. So.
But as far as government, I was going to say, I think trying to aggressively diversify our tax base so we can remain a heterogeneous community and at the same time support the values that make us a distinctive community is a major challenge. But the other challenge is related to the solid waste, and that is we need to maintain and improve our relationships. Mm-hmm. Government is ultimately about relationships, and if you do not act in collaborative ways, then you create that tension, stress, and resistance that we talked about earlier. And I think that we could all do a better job, but I think the county specifically can do a better job of reaching out to our partners. And you know, we have come to take each other for granted to some extent. We know that we're coming from the same places philosophically. We know we have the same desires and aspirations, but sometimes we don't communicate very well. So I would say that that's an equally important goal, whether it's in solid waste or anything else, but it's become most manifest in solid waste because to me the danger is we're going to go in different directions before we look at whether we can go in the same direction together.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're even at that stage in the conversation yet, but I know last year there was discussion about the future of solid waste and siting a large facility was an issue. Are there sites that are emerging now within Orange County, new ones that are sort of making their way to the top of the list as more likely proposals?
Not from us. When we decided not to do a transfer station, we also adopted as a goal of the Board of County Commissioners to find alternatives to burial of solid waste. And we did say that going to Durham with the transfer station was an interim solution. Mm-hmm. So we need to band together. Probably we need to band with Durham and others, maybe more than one university, to reach a critical mass to be able to fund some of these alternatives that become feasible when you reach the scale that's necessary to fund them. So the county at least is not talking about new facilities.
Mm-hmm. Chancellor Thorpe, a lot in there to talk about, but starting with the initial salvo question, what's the biggest challenge facing UNC and sort of the larger community?
Well, I think in terms of the relationship with the town, I and the towns and the county, I'm confident that it will continue in the same way that it has. We've worked to get the relationship where it is. I haven't really talked in depth with Chancellor-elect Folt, but from what I know about her, it would shock me if we saw things go back to the level of sort of adversarial kinds of things that we mm-hmm. had 10 years ago and maybe a little less. So I'm completely comfortable about that. I think that there's a recognition now that the town and the local community is part of the university just the way the actual faculty, staff, and students are. And that's the thing that I've always been saying to everybody in South Building that hopefully has made this difference, because the people who vote in these municipalities either work for the university or their spouse works for the university or their kids go to the university. And so we have to treat it all as one piece of cloth. You can't say, well, we have this conflict with the town, but we're okay with the English department. Well, if you have a conflict with the town, then maybe your relationship with the English department is not as good as you think it is. Mm-hmm. And so you can't solve one piece of that without addressing both of those pieces. And I believe that there's a good recognition throughout the administration that's the most productive way to deal with all of these things. I think the biggest thing for Chapel Hill, as I've said many times before, is are we a city or are we a town? Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that question's already been answered. We're a city. But a lot of people in Chapel Hill still struggling with that. But we have all kinds of urban problems. We have we want to create a more diverse community. We want to create a edgier arts community. In many ways, we have all of that, and we just need to sort of embrace our our urbanness a little more than some people are willing to.
We've got to wrap up, but I want to conclude by asking Chancellor Thorpe one question. Since you are leaving us in a few months and you can say anything that you want to now, what has been the most frustrating thing about being chancellor, and what is the one piece of advice that you would give and probably have given to Carol Folt in your conversations?
Well, the frustrating thing about, and everybody in this session shares this, mm-hmm. is that public life, by its definition, has a lot of owners. And the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill is a very, very public university. And so there are a lot of people who think they have a stake in running it, and rightfully so. And so managing that is very challenging, and that will be a challenge coming from a place like Dartmouth, where you don't have millions of people who own the university. But I think Carol Folt has said, and I'm convinced that she believes that public higher education is critically important to the future, and she embraces the challenges that go with it. And so my advice to her is to recognize that in many ways she is going to be the public figure in North Carolina that most people would like to be. I think being the chancellor of UNC Chapel Hill is the greatest public office in North Carolina, and that is a privilege and a challenge and a great opportunity, and I think she understands that.
Holden Thorpe, Mark Chilton, Eric Hallman, Mark Kleinschmidt, Barry Jacobs. That was an incredibly fast hour, but thank you all so much for joining us. That is going to wrap up hour one of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. This hour, as well as the entire day's broadcast, can be found on our website, chapelboro.com, at the end of today's events. This is Aaron Keck. Coming up next is hour two of our forum. Perfect segue into it. It's entitled After Thorpe. Look into what lies ahead for our town and university after the departure of Holden Thorpe as chancellor, and advice for the new chancellor, Holden Carol Folt, on her way in. This is Aaron Keck. You have just listened to the first of 10 hours of the WCHL Community Forum. Keep it tuned to WCHL throughout the day. Coming up next, it is the After Thorpe panel and a whole lot more after that. Thanks.